Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior Jesus Christ. God's word for us this morning comes from the epistle lesson. It's from Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be referring to that today throughout the message. Friends in Christ, last week Pastor Chris preached a very insightful sermon pointing out some important distinctions about faith. He identified that faith goes wrong when we start comparing. Of course, if I compare my faith to the faith of Jesus, I'm not going to turn out too well in that comparison. I'll look like a spiritual weakling. But then I compare my strength of faith to how I perceive other people's strength of faith, and I end up feeling lacking there as well. And the problem with all of that comparing is that the focus is off. In other words, my faith should not be the focus of my faith. Jesus should be the focus of my faith. That's why sometimes you'll hear pastors, Bible teachers, say things like, Jesus is the object of faith. In other words, Jesus is what my faith looks at. That's what it zeroes in on. Jesus is what my faith depends on. It's Him. What that means is that a person can come to Jesus saying, Lord, I just have this little faith, and I get a lot of things wrong, but I know I need you. And guess what? That person gets all of Jesus, all His forgiveness, all His redemption and new life that He purchased at His cross and through His rising to new life. So last week, from Pastor Chris, we heard a call to repent and to reject a self-centeredness that puts my faith at the middle and to let God grow faith in Jesus in my heart by the Spirit's power. And this is a message you're only going to hear from the pages of Holy Scripture. And it drives home the point that I heard from another sermon very recently, which said, there's nothing more practically important than to know the God of the Bible in detail. Simple idea, but so profound and so important, I'll say it again. There's nothing more practically important than to know the God of the Bible in detail. So, this week I'm going to push things one step farther. Continuing in the same section of Scripture as last week, Hebrews chapter 11, I'd like to show you something that, in very simple terms, something that God-given faith does. It's a straightforward if-then. And I just offer it to you to encourage you. You can take it from there. So let's dive into this passage. Picks up right where last week's epistle lesson left off. I'm just going to read a portion of it, and as I do, I want you to listen for what that if-then might be. What is Hebrews saying? If you have this, then that is going to happen. Hebrews says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. And by faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Now, I wanted you to hear that whole passage again so that you could hear the if-then, so that you could hear the common thread running through the lives of all those who are named here. From Abraham all the way to Rahab, the common thread is faith in God moved each of these people to action. I told you it was simple. Abraham would have sacrificed his son Isaac until God intervened. Isaac blessed his sons. Jacob blessed his sons. Joseph preached a message about the coming Exodus. Moses led the Exodus. Rahab hid Israelite spies so that they would survive. In every case mentioned here, faith inspired action. Faith caused these people to do things, things they wouldn't have dreamed of doing had faith not compelled them to get up and get going. And you know, this passage from Hebrews 11 is not just a history lesson. It is a description of what happens in a person who has the gift of faith. You see, when you believe that God the Father did not withhold His only Son, but did sacrifice Him so that our sin would be justly punished and done away with, well, that creates a response, doesn't it? And when you're convinced that God did that for you, and when you're convinced that God's will is always best, you are going to act accordingly. When you're captivated by His vision, the vision of His kingdom coming into this world, you won't be able to just sit there. You will need to be a part of it, blessing others. Blessing others like Isaac did, blessing others like Jacob did, blessing others like Moses did with his leadership. Today marks the beginning of our congregation's third year of engaging in the mission of Operation Christmas Child, through which we sincerely hope to bless the children of this world. We gather together items, we raise money for postage, we work to prepare for shipping, for distribution, because we believe that the kingdom of God breaks into the world wherever these boxes are opened. Not too long ago, I had the amazing opportunity to talk to someone who had received a box as a child when he was living in war-torn Africa. It was his introduction to life with Jesus. And as he grew and grew in faith, he became a young man with faith. And his faith moved him to locate some of the men who had participated in the murder of his own family members. And he located those men in order to forgive them, to announce forgiveness to them. that is the Spirit which is unleashed with these boxes. You can be a part of this movement. Your faith can take action in this way. Of course, that's not the only way. It's one of an almost countless number of ways that you can bless others. You can join in the activity of God's kingdom. You are absolutely free to decide where your interests align with the kingdom goal of making disciples. Now you may ask, and I hope you are asking yourself, how do I align my interests with the kingdom goal of making disciples? It's easy. Just ask yourself, what do I love to do? What do I love to do? Now, whatever you just thought of, you can use that to make Jesus known. There's some way that that's true. I can't answer that question for you. What do you love to do? But you know. So take what you love and give it to God and see what happens. Now let me remind you one more time. You are saved by faith in Jesus alone, period. And freed from the trap of thinking my actions are what save me. I can take action to serve with joy, with confidence. Because it's all a thank you. What is faith in Jesus leading you to do? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, uphold our faith in Jesus, our rescuer from sin and its consequences. Grant us faith that takes action to serve and bless others in Jesus' name. Amen.